privilege of gathering together with God's people week after week with little thought of danger or persecution or inconvenience even. As I was pondering a message for here this morning, I've been thinking about all the teaching that most of us have placed ourselves under in the past week, and some of us, or many of us maybe, even other than the weekend of teaching that we put ourselves under, listen to messages or read books about experiences that people had. And it's easy, speaking for myself, it's easy to come through, read through a book, or even more, sit under a teacher that is older and has seen things and teaches us many wonderful things. And it's easy for us to be inspired, and we leave that meeting and it's like, okay, I've got some things to work on. But it's also very easy for us as human beings to try those things for a while, but we find ourselves, if we're not intentional, back to where we started, because changes is hard work. It puts us in a vulnerable spot. It takes us out of our norm. And so this morning I'd like to talk a little bit about repentance and fighting the battles of change in our lives or in the lives of others. We think of repentance, we think of change, of something that is in our lives that we don't want there, and we do something. It's a change of mind. And I'll just give us a couple of examples here in the beginning. In Matthew chapter 27, in the first couple of verses there, we see where Judas was at and how he had betrayed Jesus. And when he saw the things that took place, he was guilty. He felt guilty of the things he had done. And it tells us there in between verse 3 and 5 that he repented. And he came to the temple there and he returned those 30 pieces of silver. But he didn't get much comfort there. And he was sorry that he had killed innocent blood. But it tells us that he went out and he ended his life. And that was the end of his repentance. There's another account in Matthew chapter 21, going down to verse 28 and 29 there. There's this account here of a father that had two sons, and he asked them to go work in his vineyard. And the one son said that he didn't want to go, and he wouldn't go. But sometime later, he repented of that response and his response to his father. And it tells us there that he changed his mind and he went. So the things he had decided to not do, he repented of, and he went and did. And so that is the heart that God wants from us. And when we see an area in our lives that needs to be changed, he wants us to recognize, he wants us to confess and repent and have a change of heart. When we choose to change, we often face all kinds of things that we weren't expecting. And this morning, I'd like for the children, those of you children, if you would like to have a little something different and maybe be taught up front, if you would come up front here and we'll do a little children's lesson. Those of you that are willing and able, there's something special about children, and that is we as big people, we often learn things from you. Is there room there for all of you? Oh, we even have some big people coming up here. They want to learn too. This is great. So, did you know that us big people learn from you? And I suspect that you little people, you learn things from us big people too. Is that right? I think so. Question for you. Is life for you always fair? No. Do you like when things are fair? You do? Yeah. What do you do when you're in a situation and you're playing a game or doing something and you realize that it's not fair? That the odds are stacked against you. Maybe you're playing a game and you realize that, or that someone isn't playing fair. What are some of the things that you might do? What would you do? Yeah, that's what they should do if they're doing something that's not fair. Have any of you ever, when you were playing a game, or let's say you were playing tag and you decided it wasn't fair the way it was being done? Yeah, that would be an example. Have you ever decided, it's like, well, I'm not gonna play anymore because it's not fair? And so maybe you go in the house and
start cooking.
Yeah, there you go. That might be a good thing to do. You get distracted with something else. Let those children play that aren't playing fairly by themselves. Mm-hmm. Have any of you ever gone to your dad and told your dad, it's like, something wasn't fair? How did that work out for you?
Well, if you tell your dad that something's not fair, they'll come help you.
They'll come help you. Okay. That's good. Yeah. That's what daddies are there for, is to to help us. Do daddies always make it fair? No. Okay. Well, in 1 Kings chapter 19, there's an account there about Elijah. And in chapter 18 there, he had won a great victory. He had shown himself powerful, and the Baal, the prophets that were prophets of Baal, they were trying to do a sacrifice, and they couldn't, it didn't work for them. And Elijah showed them how wrong they were, and that how powerful God was. And Elijah won a great victory there. It tells us there in that chapter, in chapter, I think, 18 or 19, that he had killed those prophets. But guess what? Jezebel heard about these things, and she wasn't very happy about them. And she left a message for Elijah that he was going to be killed if she had her way. Well, Elijah, he got afraid and he ran and he was hiding. And God came to Elijah and was talking with Elijah. And it seems like in this case that Elijah was looking at all the things he had done, and it just wasn't really fair how this was coming to play. Did God change the circumstances when God and Elijah talked? He told Elijah to get up and get busy. So what changed? It was still the same. Jezebel still wanted to hurt Elijah and bring pain and end his life. But God said to stay busy. Keep doing right. Don't stop. And so when we choose to do the right thing like Elijah did, he was fighting a battle for God. And he got distracted with, he was looking at Jezebel and how she was being mean, and he was afraid, and he decided he wasn't going to play anymore in this story. And God asking, it's like, what are you doing? Why are you just standing there? And told him to go get busy. Has your dad ever done that to you when you came and told him a story about how things weren't fair? He didn't just change it, but he said, well, you need to go play and do the best that you know how to do. That's what God wants us to do. So maybe we can pray, and then you can go back to your parents. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that we can learn from your word. We can learn from the children that you have placed in our lives, and we can learn from each other. And Lord, I just pray that you would just teach us further in your word. And just pray, Lord, that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. Pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. And Lord, we do want to commit this service to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you. You can go back to your parents. So God gives us a job to do, and how often when we're called to step out and do something that things don't play out the way that we expect, and we get distracted by the change, the things that change, and we get distracted by that and complain or maybe even quit because we feel like it's not worth it. But we see the message here in 1 Kings that that was not what God wanted Elijah to do, but he wanted him to stay focused and to continue on. In John chapter 5, I'd like to read an account here. Starting in verse 2, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pole which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. We see here in this account, Jesus noticed this man, and he asked him a question. This man's response in verse 7 appears like he saw his life as, well, he had a disadvantage. Life wasn't fair. He didn't have anybody to help him get down in the pool when there was opportunity for him to better himself, opportunity for him to experience healing. And we see that Jesus continued communicating to him here in verse 8. Jesus said to him, get up, take your bed, and walk. This man had an opportunity to rise up and to be healed, to experience a changed life. Or he could have at that time sat there and said, well, that's not something he can do. He can't walk. But he chose to respond to God's calling there. And so we see here Jesus asking a question. And this man, seeing that his life was not fair and he was at a disadvantage, and Jesus telling him, he didn't talk about that, but he told him to get up and walk. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 5, the life of bondage and the process of change. In this chapter here, I'm going to read, I believe, part of this chapter. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?" And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "You shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of bricks which they did make heretofore, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle." Therefore they cry, saying, "Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words." And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, "Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go ye get your straw where you can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished." So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, "Fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw." And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, "Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore?" Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, "Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, make brick, and behold, the servants are beaten, but the fault is in thine own people." But he said, "You are idle. You are idle, therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet you shall deliver the tale of bricks." And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in evil case after it was said, "You shall not diminish aught from your bricks of your daily tasks." And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way, as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, "The Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us." And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he has done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." We see here the children of Israel here in Egypt, the life of bondage that they were in. And as the process of being free, and as we continue reading this story, we see the work that God did, and how he brought them out of Egypt. But often, our lives, maybe we're not in bondage in this way, but in different ways, we find areas in our lives that God points out to us that He wants to set us free on. And as Moses and Aaron got courage to speak into this, speak to Pharaoh about the situation and how they wanted to go worship God, and as we, as people, we get courage to rise up. We see this thing in our lives and we want to live differently. And we get courage to go and talk to God about it. And we make preparation and we start doing some things differently. And Pharaoh gets wind of it. The devil. And he is going to make life difficult for us. And we find ourselves in that struggle. And if we're not careful, we come to the place that the people did here in Egypt. Life was worse off than before. And they were like, well, we would have been better off just leaving it the way it was. Change, leaving our old life behind. We see the struggle here, and often the struggle for us is similar. The journey through the wilderness, the trials, the unknownness of that life, and then in the end, the sweet rewards of getting to the place that God has called us. That's the journey that we often have to walk to experience change, to experience the repentant life that God places before us. And it's easy. It's very easy for us to go into it for a time frame and we get discouraged and go back. And so my encouragement is, whatever God has shown you in the past week or prior to that, don't go back. Keep moving forward. There, you will receive the promise. In Genesis chapter 12, three verses that I'd like to read here. God told Abram here, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Here in this account, God told Abram four things that he needed to do. He needed to leave his land, the area that he was familiar with. He was asked to leave his relatives. He was asked to leave the security of his father's house. And he said, I'm going to take you to a land that I will show you. So, four things that he was asked to do. You think about leaving your land, the area that you're familiar with. Maybe it brings a little bit of fear. The idea of leaving our relatives, our family behind. We think of pain, the loneliness, the missing of family, and the security of leaving our father's house, the risk that we might be taking. And number four, like if we're asked the first three, but number four, he was told he was going to a land that I will show you. He didn't tell him where to go. So there was trust needed. Trusting God that he was going to take me to a place that was going to be good. I believe that repentance and change in our life often looks similar. God doesn't ask these exact things from us, but he takes us out of areas that we're comfortable with, and he wants us to leave them behind. And we need trust. The promise that he gave to Abram here is, I will make you a great nation, bless you, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Bless those that bless you, and curse those that curse you. In you shall all families of the earth be blessed. That was the blessing that was promised to Abram. Repentance and fighting the battles of change. Are we willing and able to face those things one at a time and work through them and reach out to the promises that God has for us? If we only focus on the risk, the pain, the fear, and the trust that we need, we probably will be distracted and not see our journey through. But if we are looking out and seeing the promises that God has laid out before us, that we can experience, as he did with Abram, those promises are there for us. And so let's stand true. Let's keep our focus right. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly. It's telling us here to look carefully, to look around. It does us good to acknowledge that we are living in a evil and difficult times. Our world is filled with danger and deceptions and temptations. And we were reminded of that here this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, tells us, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." Talking about life being fair. If we wait to push through life, push through the things that God has shown us, if we wait to do them till things are fair, we will find ourselves doing what Elijah did. He got discouraged. He saw that life was against him. He had done all that good. And he was pretty excited for a while. But then he realized, or in his mind he thought, he was the only one fighting anymore. And God showed him that he was wrong in that. And God didn't change anything. But he told him to get up and go and get busy. So it does us well to realize our enemy. He is going to come as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't play by any set of rules, but his intent is to distract us, to get us discouraged from the goals that we have or the promises that we've claimed. If he can distract us from those promises and take us down, he will. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 tells us here that you were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Tells us here in this verse to walk as children of light. To make sure that God's purpose and direction becomes our purpose and our direction. It's about how we live life. In Proverbs 14, verse 15, the prudent gives thoughts to their steps. We're the wise person thinks about the steps, the direction that they're taking. And we're encouraged to do that. Ephesians 5, verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We're reminded here again not to fall with the unwise, but rather that we're to understand what the will of the Lord is. the roadmap for our lives. What roadmap are we using? The roadmap that keeps me in control. Or the roadmap that will give God the ability to mold us, to change us, to bring us into a place that He's going to show us. I believe that roadmap is often going to look a little bit like that last part that was promised to Abram. It took trust and obedience. And that trust is often for us is to a land that I will show you. To a land that I will show you. And that land is filled with promises. Do I dare let go of where I think I want to be? Let go of what I think might be safe? And trust God. And let Him take me where He would. Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. It's part of that roadmap. That takes place in our lives as we yield to Him. In closing, as we're on that roadmap, Abram had to face his fears and look at the pain and the risk that he was taking. He had to trust God. It brought a lot of changes into his life. Let's not allow the fears or the pains or the risk of this life to get in the way of trusting God. As we live that life of repentance, as we open ourselves up to the battles, fighting the battles of change in the battles that Moses fought for his people, those were severe battles. He was fighting for his people. We need to, I think, recognize our enemy. I was blessed with the thought that we were reminded of this past week about David and his fighting the Goliath and the enemies and the stones that he picked up. He understood the enemies that he needed to kill. to win that battle. And it's important for us, I believe, to understand who our enemy is. Because when we're blindsided, we're hit with an enemy that we had no idea that was there. What happens? It's a surprise. It's a shock. And often, if we're not in tune with God, we find ourselves not prepared, not responding well. So I say that, it brings my mind to a time I was plowing snow and I had my window open, and all of a sudden there was snow in my face, and it was not a good surprise. And one of my children threw a snowball and it hit me, and I was like, my response wasn't very good. And when we are expecting it, we're prepared for it. We take it in stride and life goes on. And I think that's how we need to why it's important for us to know who our enemy is, and we can be strong. So may God bless you as you ponder those things in your life, as we live on the roadmap that God wants us to be on, as we allow that life of repentance to have its way, and we embrace the changes that God wants to bring in our lives, like we saw Abram doing. May God bless you.